A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, 24th September 2024. As usual, we will gather and we will have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Yên Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Yên Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Yên Bồ Tát. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Ami Tho Pho. Namo Mi La Pho. Namo Mi La Pho. Namo Mi La Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Yao Si Pho. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Namo Pho Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. We shall continue from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang. Pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena ติวเปนะหังสุกังหินะปูจาเยปูจานิยังตังปูจาปะจานะโมตะมังวันนะกันดะโกโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันทะตินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกุสุเมนะเนนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายัตติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายัตติวิสาสะภาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเตคาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมทะมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปาริคาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมทะมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปาริคาปิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุโมตะมัง Okay, we will continue our puja aspiration chanting based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us all to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to the ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing of and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us pay respect to Pajama, Padang Pajami. Dhammang Pujemi, Sanghang Pujemi. So as usual, develop the ability to make use of the four support to Stabilize your inner awareness. First support is relax. Relax body and mind completely. Yeah? Relax means be at ease. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just relax body and mind. Then let things be. Second support is maintain awareness. The mind that is attentive and just aware. No need to do anything. Don't try to know, don't try to do. We are the trying to know and the doing is always by the thought. So awareness-based meditation means to develop the inner awareness that is without thought. Means it's just aware. And the awareness is your awareness nature before the arising of thought. Before thought manifests and create the thinking, the mental proliferation that make you heedless. So understanding this is very important. So after you relax, you maintain awareness, whatever arise, away, finish. Don't follow. Don't create curiosity or don't allow your habitual thinking to continue to develop and create more thought process or thought activity. Yeah. Otherwise, your habitual tendency of heedless thinking, they will continue to be there and you cannot do anything to it. So try to develop more and more moment of silence, inner peace, inner awareness, without allowing the mind to proliferate or think or create mental activity. But because you have the consciousness trapped inside your physical body, so your physical body has the senses. So upon contact of senses with the sense data, your conscious mind will trigger off the consciousness, the respective consciousness to arise. So whatever arises at the moment of sense or consciousness, let it arise. Then observe it, silently observe it. The awareness that is aware can understand what that movement is or the activity is, how it happened and how it creates the conscious moment within your form and mind, and how the various senses give rise to the respective sense or consciousness. As a human being, we can be conscious of our hearing, conscious of what we smell, what we taste, what we tactilely feel and think. And we can also be conscious of visual object. So all these six senses, when they arise, just let it arise and let it pass. To understand that they are all dependent originating condition state. It's not a permanent unchanging entity within. Upon contact of mind with the sense basis and the sense data, it will trigger off the respective sense of consciousness. That consciousness that arises, like the Buddha's explanation, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, only that consciousness, no one to see. Similarly, in the hearing, no one to hear, no one to smell, no one to taste, no one to tactilely feel or think. It's just that conscious moment, like the physics experiment. Upon contact, when you on the switch, the light bulb lights up. The lighting up is like making you conscious. So conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. But there is no being inside there. It's just that spontaneous arising of that consciousness. So if you can learn to remain conscious or aware without the utter, without the ego, without the delusion, then your hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought process, they will become different. They can understand what is going on through the silent awareness within, which can be aware of whatever that manifests within the moment. So every moment of awareness, aware, finish, this will help you to decondition your habitual thinking and habitual reaction or stirring of mind, because the awareness just aware, finish. No more conditioning to move the thinking, the thought activity. The aggregate remain as pure aggregate, because no more wrong view, no more sakayadity. So this training is very important. Relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize it, the third support. After you can do that, your mind will become very quiet, very still. The mind will go through a transformation from your habitual heedless state. Now in the form of meditation, you train your mind to be aware, developing inner awareness, stabilizing it. So when you can do that, you become very different. Then you realize all this so-called heedless thinking or thought activity or the aggregates of mind's sankhara movement or activity, they will start to slow down, until finally it ceases, because you don't feed it with any more thought energy, any more wrong thought and delusion. The atta sakayaditi is no longer there to condition your thinking. There is no more ignorant avijja, or no more sakayaditi, self-delusion, the ego, to actually create the evil roots or the mental hindrance. So all this will lead to your ability to be quiet, peaceful, tranquil and still, so that finally you can experience that sudden shift in consciousness, means from a noisy thought activity, your mind has become very quiet and very still. When you realize that, it is a sign of good progress, means you have starts to have a glimpse of your true mind, your silent mind without thought. That is your inner awareness nature. Without thought, that thing will manifest. So train yourself in awareness-based meditation to develop the stability of it. Then let it stabilize. When you can do that, your mind become very different. You will have more and more moments of quietness, stillness, tranquility and silence. And that is the characteristic of your true mind, your silent mind. No more the noisy verbalization, chattering and mental sankhara activity and movement. That one lead to heedless thinking, heedless living. Whereas this awareness space will transform you to become heedful, ever mindful, constantly meditative. When the transformation happen, you become very different. And this is very beautiful. This awareness-based meditation can give rise to the true mind, the silent mind, that can enable you to develop wisdom. This inner awareness, mindfulness, will make you sensitive, will allow you to understand many things. It can also help you insight into phenomena to awaken to the three universal characteristics of nature. It can also help you to see things as they are, without word, without concept, without duality. And all this can only be possible when your sati is very stable, where you have no thought, no verbalization, nothing. Just the awareness nature aware. And that silent observation of what is will give rise to wisdom, will enable one to see things as they are. And at the same time, when you have contemplated deep enough, stable enough, it can trigger off awakening. It can lead to insight, deep penetrative understanding. Then when you can see clearly the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha and anatta, you transform, you become very different. Means you come to understand everything that arise, they are dependent and originating. Dependent on causes and conditions, they arise. When causes and conditions cease to be, they cease to be. Then you start to understand that everything within the condition world, they are condition arising entity, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity, not what you think. And because of that, they exhibit the characteristics of change. According to causes and conditions, it moves, it transforms, and it continues to change and evolve. Then you start to understand. When causes and conditions are already set, the reality within the moment will be such, cannot be otherwise. That's why thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. Yeah. So all these are the understanding that will stabilize. And as you continue to silent, observe, develop more and more stable understanding, it will help you prepare the base to awaken to the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. Then that penetrative awakening and understanding will liberate your mind, so that you will no longer cling on to things, grasp on to things, where you see the unreality of these five aggregates of form and mind, all of its manifestation, all of phenomena within the conditioned world. They exhibit the universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. Okay, with this, I let you meditate on your own. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We shall do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chiakawalisu Atraha Gachan Tu Devata Saddamang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasavanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusana do bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pajatang veditabo venohiti supadipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Yapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Samicipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho. Yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjalikaraneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, we shall now continue from where we stop. We are at page 620 of this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. Okay, we are at the sutta part. Then the elder thinks, the house is already ablaze with great fire. If my children and I do not get out in time, we shall certainly be burned. I shall not devise skillful means. Sorry, I should now devise skillful means so that my children can escape this disaster. Then the commentary. So here the elder thinks the house is already ablaze with great fire. It means when the elder who represents the Buddha urged the children to leave the burning house, they were so absorbed in their play that they had no concern about being burned. The house is ablaze with the fire of the eight kinds of suffering and the five skandhas. So this one we have gone through, the first noble truth, reality, the eight kind of suffering. And the attachment or grasping to the five aggregates of form and mind, that is a final summary. In other words, this body of the five skandhas is being consumed by fire, for it is tormented and tortured by the eight kinds of suffering. Especially the suffering induced by the raging blaze of the five skandhas, or what we call the five aggregates. The elder further thinks, if my children and I do not get out in time, we shall certainly be burned. So this represents the Buddha's concern that the disciple of the three vehicles of the sound hearer, Savaka, the Pacheka Buddhas, and the Bodhisattvas, as well as beings of the five destiny, represented by the 500 people, would be consumed by the raging fire if they did not quickly try to escape. Previously, the elder, that is the Buddha, said, I'm able to escape safely through this burning doorway. But in this line, he said that he too is about to be burned along with his children. Isn't this a contradiction? Not at all. When the elder said, I'm able to escape safely, he was referring to the Buddha Dhamma's body. In this line, the elder is referring to the Buddha's response body, or we call it the functional body. In reading sutta, it is important to understand what is going on. Then the next part of the sutta says, I should now devise skillful means so that my children can escape this disaster. The Buddha wanted to lead living beings to escape the eight kinds of suffering and the five skandhas, the 12 field and the 18 sense rhyme, and thus save them from being harmed. So here, the 18 sense rhyme refer to the phenomenal world of consciousness, our six basic senses, together with the six type of respective sense bases or sense data. They constitute the 18 sense rhyme. Six plus six. Yeah. So the six bases upon contact trigger off the respective six type of sense or consciousness. And within these six type of respective sense or consciousness, we had the six type of sense data that can trigger it off. So the three sets of six, 3 times 6 is 18, form the 18 sense rhyme. Okay, we move on there. Eh? Because of the understanding of the five aggregates, especially the aggregates of consciousness, so we'll be able to understand why this phenomenal world of consciousness is like a great magician, like an illusionist, create illusionary phenomena for you to deludedly grasp onto, cling onto, held onto, through security, believing that they are real. So that's how all this, basically is the five aggregates of form and mind, manifest into the phenomenal world of consciousness via the 18 sense rhyme. Yeah. Then the eight types of suffering, they arise from there. Okay, next part of the sutta. analogy of knowing the children's predisposition and references. Then N3 is analogy of praising the three cards has been rare. Okay, next part of the sutta says, knowing that his children's predisposition and preference are such that they will definitely be delighted and attracted to various precious toys and exquisite playthings. The elders or the father says to them, the things that you love to play with are rare and difficult to come by. If you do not take them now, you will certainly regret it later. Now, right outside the door, you will see such delightful things. A variety of sheep cards, deer cards, and ox cards for you to play with. Quickly, get out of this burning house, and I will give you whatever you want. So the commentaries. Knowing that his children's predisposition and preference are such that they will definitely be delighted and attracted to various precious toy and exquisite playthings. Here, the father means the Buddha, referring to the elders, who represents the Buddha. There is a saying, no one knows a children better than their father. So a father virtually knows his children's predisposition and preferences. By the same token, no one knows living being better than the Buddha himself. The Buddha knows every living being's desire, craving, and delusion. So by knowing what they like and what their disposition are, he knows the predisposition and preference of all living beings. Predispositions refer to the lesser vehicle, Buddha Dhamma, that they cultivated in the past. There are also individual preference. Some people cultivate the practice of giving. Others cultivate the Four Noble Truths, while still others cultivate the 12 links of Paticca Samuppada. Everyone cultivates according to the Dhamma of his or her choice. The Buddha knows every living being's preference. What do they prefer? Various precious toys and exquisite playthings. These refer to all kinds of valuables, enjoyables, and fine playthings that are extraordinary and yet rare. They are metaphor for the aforementioned Dhamma, including the Four Noble Truths, the 12 links of Paticca Samuppada or dependent originating, and the 6 paramitas. This means that living beings have their own preference among the Dhammadhammas of the three vehicles. The Buddha knew that they were fond of certain things and conceived Dhamma that he thought they would like. Knowing what his children like, the father says to them, the things that you love to play with are rare and difficult to come by. The toy you have now are not that fun to play with. You should not be attached to them. There is nothing enjoyable here. It's very dangerous in this burning house. You should not play with those toys anymore, because I have some amazing toys for you. You have never seen toys as fun to play with, and as special as these, for they are the latest toy imported from foreign countries. So Xuanhua here, under the commentary, he gives example. He said, for example, America. American products that are exported to China are called imported goods. In the past, these goods were shipped by sea. Nowadays, they are transported by air, which costs even more. They are very difficult to come by. The elder continues, if you do not take them now, you will certainly regret it later. Miss, hurry and come out so that I can give you these fantastic new toys. The elder continued to entice them. Now right outside the door, you will see or find such delightful things. A variety of sheep cart, deer cart, and ox cart for you to play with. Come and see how many carts there are. They are all exceptionally beautiful. You have never seen anything like them. Come, take a look. If you want a sheep cart, I will give you a sheep cart. If you want a deer cart, you can have a deer cart. If you don't like the ox cart, that's no problem. I will give you, sorry, if you like an ox cart, that's no problem. I will give you an ox cart. Come out quickly and get your cart. So the sheep cart represents the sound hearer vehicle, Savaka. The deer cart represents the Pacheka Buddha vehicle. And the ox cart represents the Bodhisattva vehicle. The sheep drawn cart can only carry small load. So it represents the lesser vehicle, or what we call the Theravada tradition sainthood way. A deer has more strength than a sheep and thus can pull a heavier load. Hence, a deer cart represents the medium vehicle where the Pacheka Buddha's teachings are. Then an ox cart is still more powerful than a deer. So an ox-drawn cart can pull an even heavier load. It represents the supreme vehicle or the great vehicle. The father tells his children that right outside the door, you will find three kinds of cart that are incredibly fun to play with. He said that they can sit in them and go wherever they want. He urges them, quickly, get out of this burning house. Come on, you kids, hurry and get out of this burning house, quick. I will give you whatever you want. Once you get out, you can have a sheep cart or a deer cart or an ox cart according to your wish. I will give you whatever you want. Don't hang around in the burning house. Hurry, right out. Okay, then next part of the sutta. Analogy of suiting the children's wish. Then the children, hearing their father speak of this precious plaything, which suits their wishes exactly, eagerly push and shove one another aside in a mad scramble, all fighting to get out of the burning house. Then the children, hearing their father speak of this precious plaything, which suits their wishes exactly, eagerly push and shove one another aside in a mad scramble, all fighting to get out of the burning house. These children, living beings of the three vehicles and the five destiny, heard the Buddha teach the Dhammada of the three vehicles, which were so novel and subtle that they arose their curiosity. They thought, wow, these are so unusual and wonderful. These were exactly what they wanted. They had longed for something like the Dhamma of the three vehicles. So the Buddha taught them this expedient provision of Dhamma Door to fulfill their initial wishes. He could not speak about the supreme vehicle or ultimate Buddha vehicle because they were so engrossed in their play that they have forgotten everything. They have forgotten all their dhammas and were caught up in the three realms. For this reason, the Buddha taught living beings the Dhamma through skillful means. He cleverly established the Dhamma door, the three vehicle, to save living beings in the five destiny. It was not until the very end that the Buddha taught the ultimate Dhamma door of the one Buddha vehicle or the supreme vehicle to the exclusion of other vehicles. So this Dhamma Flower Sutta or Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing contains only this wondrous Dhamma of the ultimate wisdom. There is nothing in it which is provisional. Therefore, Great Master Ziyi praised this sutta as being absolutely perfect and uniquely wonderful. It is the Dhamma Door or the perfect teaching. So this Lotus Sutta is no longer the provisional teaching. That's why after you have gone through this sutta, you will start to understand why initially the Buddha need to teach the provisional teachings, especially the sainthood way, so that the disciples, they have this what they call interest, because when the Buddha expounded to them the first noble truth of dukkha, the reality of life and existence, the eight type of reality within existence that can trigger off suffering when you do not develop the wisdom to comprehend them and to understand them. So this is the beginning. The first attraction is to be free from suffering. Yeah. So to be free from suffering is like to develop the understanding of life so that you can actually be free from the entanglement of life that arises due to sakkayadity or self-delusion or what we call ignorant avijja. So this part is very important. That's why the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, they become the provisional teaching. So after the first noble truth of dukkha has been proclaimed, that actually can wake up a lot of living beings or sentient beings that are trapped within existence, the cycle of birth and death. Then in order to develop the wisdom to transcend suffering, to liberate the mind so that they need not suffer, they have to go through, develop the understanding of this teaching. That's why the initial provisional teaching, they are called the sound hearer, savaka teaching, means true hearing the Four Noble Truths, develop the first turning wisdom, then continue to contemplate, reflect, to develop the second turning wisdom, and finally meditate, silence your mind, develop the inner mindfulness, awareness within, to insight into phenomena and to awaken. So these three types of wisdom correspond to the three types of turnings, first, second, and third turning. Then after you have awakened through this provisional teaching or the initial wisdom as taught by the Buddha, you will develop the understanding as not to be entangled by the commonly what they call existential delusion. When you are trapped within life, existence, you will be conditioned into sakyadity, which is the main cause of delusion. And sakyadity is self-delusion. When you believe you exist, you are real, that is the beginning of attachment, clinging, grasping, craving, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion manifesting, thereby entangling the living being. So through this sakyadity, you deludedly grasp onto the five aggregates of form and mind, thinking that they are real, thinking that this is what you are. That's why the final summary of the first noble truth, the Buddha said, in short, it is due to one's sakyadity or self-delusion that conditioned living being to grasp at the five aggregates of form and mind that I call dukkha. That's why the final summary, the upadana khandhas, the five grasping aggregate is dukkha. So this one is very powerful. So initially, this teaching need to be taught so that at least they can develop the wisdom, the initial wisdom, to penetrate the Dhamma, to liberate their mind, so that they need not be caught in suffering. So once they can liberate their mind and be free from suffering, they can attain to what they call the sainthood enlightenment. Even the first stage of sainthood, Sakadagama, Sotapanasi, is already quite useful, or I should say quite penetrative, in the sense that after that, maximum seven births within the sensual realm, and by then or earlier, they will realize arahantship, or the fourth stage of sainthood. Then if they strive hard, determined to develop the wisdom further, then once they are able to realize the second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami, they will become a once returner. Means after that life, they can only take rebirth one more time within the sensual realm. That's why it's called a once returner. Then they continue to cultivate. Then they will definitely realize at least anagami, the third stage of sainthood. So once they realize the third stage of sainthood, the anagami are called the non-returner. Means they don't take rebirth back within the sensual realm. Means they won't return to the sensual realm. Their final rebirth will be in the pure abode, the Brahma realm, the form world. So once they are there, they will realize arahantaship and become an arahant. But once they finish the cultivation until they realize arahantaship, technically they are able to develop the wisdom to liberate their mind and free themselves from all suffering. That's it. Finish. Means they have developed the wisdom to root out avijja, no longer deluded and ignorant. So once ignorance is rooted out, there is no more rebirth within the karmic realm. So once they are able to realize the enlightenment at the arahant stage, technically, no more returning to the 31 plane of existence. So this is the initial provisional teaching needed for them to develop the interest so that they can at least realize those stages of enlightenment. Then in order to move on to the Pacheka Buddhahood vehicle and the supreme vehicle of the Bodhisattva way, they need to continue further developing the understanding beyond the Four Noble Truths. They need to understand the way the mind functions. Means they need to penetrate the dwelling, the paticca samuppada, leading to the understanding of the spiritual law of citta niyama, means the nature's law that governs all of mind's behavior, especially the mundane mind. So this mundane mind, they actually manifest following a law. They call it the paticca samuppada, or law of dependent origination, the dwelling. And the Buddha has taught this teaching. So Pacheka Buddha, when they are born into the world, before they become Pacheka Buddha, there is basically no Four Noble Truth. They need to, on their own, realize the enlightenment through cultivating this understanding of paticca samuppada. They need to realize it themselves through their own mental culture or cultivation. And that part is not easy. We are during non-sasana, when the Buddha Dhamma is not around, it is really very tough, very, very difficult. But yet, people are able to make it. That's why even though the Pacheka Buddha, that vehicle, are seldom taught and seldom explained or elaborated upon, but it is mentioned in the Theravada Tradition Sutta that Pacheka Buddha do exist, and they really are part of the provisional teaching. Yeah. So as they move on, they will have to continue with the Bodhisattva way to finally develop the ultimate supreme vehicle teaching, or we call it the One Buddha vehicle. So this One Buddha vehicle is to perfect oneself, to realize Sammasambuddhahood, so that you can continue the tradition of saving the limitless living being throughout the entire existence. Yeah. That's why the four basic vows of a Bodhisattva going that way, to cultivate the Bodhisattva way leading to Sammasambuddhahood, they are very, very important. These four basic vows will enable them to develop that Bodhisattva way. And the first vow is, out of love and compassion, they vow to take a cross and liberate all living beings to the other shore so that they can gain enlightenment in the here and the there, in the here and the now. So while they do this work, they walk the path of the Bodhisattva way, and they cultivate themselves and perfect themselves. Then as they teach and share, they will introduce the Bodhisattva way. It's just like those great beings and my nature, when they come, they will teach the Bodhisattva way. Yeah. But not everybody has that understanding and that karmic affinity to go that way. And most that go that way may have not developed the clear understanding of what that way is. So there are Bodhisattva that are on various various stages of development. That's why in the Mahayana tradition, they talk about the 10 grounds of bodhisattvahood. Means you have to go through the 10 grounds. And the more direct way is the 5 stages of bodhi-mind development. So these 5 stages of bodhi-mind development is a summary of the 10 grounds. And the 5 stages of bodhi-mind development is actually the ultimate wisdom teaching. It involves the nature. Like just now when I explained to you the provisional teaching, the sainthood way, they teach the 4 noble truths and the essential dhamma. Then mainly the mundane mind. Mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, then law of karma and all those things. Then they move on to the Pichika Buddha's vehicle, where they teach the understanding of the mundane mind. That's why the introduction of the Paticca Samuppada, the 12 link teaching, they were taught to the Savaka or the sound hearer. But the Paticca Samuppada teaching actually was discovered by the Pachika Buddha on their own, and also of course Samasambuddha and the Bodhisattvas. So as they cultivate and perfected all this, they develop the understanding of the mundane mind very clearly. But they have not realized the true mind, the true nature within, that so-called Buddha nature. To develop that, you need to go the Bodhisattva way. You need to go through the 5 stages of bodhi-mind development. That's why the third phase of, or third stage of bodhi-mind development is very important. Bodhi-mind that is able to illuminate that Buddha nature or our true nature. Once you hit that stage, you are already very stable. You will not regress anymore. That's why after that, you got no more problem. Then you continue to cultivate until you are able to develop the wisdom of Huineng, the 3 unique hallmark of Huineng, from no thought, moving on to realize no mark, then no dwelling. By then, you would have penetrated all the understanding from that nature. That's why that bodhi mind that can illuminate that nature is the ultimate perfection and cultivation of all those wisdom that you need. Then from there, you realize samsara is nothing. That's why the 4th stage of bodhi-mind development is bodhi-mind that renounces samsara. Means all your coming from then onward is no more a problem or issue, because you can renounce samsara. With samsara, got no more power over you. You are not affected by what people tell you. Oh, that path is very long. The Bodhisattva way is going to take you aeons and aeons and aeons. And there's no guarantee that you can finish or perfect it. That doubt or delusion, no more. So once you have all this developed, then the Bodhisattva become very, very different. Then finally, when they transform until the 5th stage of bodhi-mind development, bodhi-mind that realize the consummate of samasambuddhahood, means you have perfected the 10 perfection to become a samasambuddha. So that is the final stage. So stage five is the Bodhi mind that realized the consummate of Buddhahood. Means that being has perfected and realized Sammasambuddhahood, and because of that, he will have the all-knowing knowledge like all Sammasambuddha. The first one within the Buddhist tradition lineage to realize Sammasambuddhahood is called Virochana Buddha, Piruchana 4. Virochana Buddha is the first Sammasambuddha that has perfected and realized it. That's why all the lineage, they try to link back to Virochana Buddha. And all the Mahayana temple that has the understanding and the tradition, they will have the Da Xiong Bao Dian with Virochana Buddha. That's why you go some poor temple where we used to have our annual retreat. There you will see the Rupang of Virochana Buddha, very well actually built, very well built and developed. And that one is actually a very strong inspiration for cultivator of the way to go the Bodhisattva way to perfect it. Because if he can do it, means all beings, you have the resolve, you can also do it. That's why after him, a lot of Sammasambuddha actually. And each and every of these Sammasambuddha or great beings, they have their nature. That's why although existential world, the universe is really, really immense, beyond your wildest dream to understand how vast they are. And yet, we need to develop equally limitless great beings and Sammasambuddha to actually have that nature to continue to do this work. That's why the transformation of living being is an what they call unending evolution process. If it can end, then there is no more existence. But because it's not what you think, not so real. That's why this ability to understand life and existence is a very unique, I should say, a very unique understanding. And so far, only this Buddhist so-called Dhamma way or the Buddhist teaching, they have this understanding to actually develop it to this extent. But this is the marvel and secret of creation, secret of life, existence. And all these are the conditioned world manifestation, and they are really extensive and immense, really immense. Even the scientists also marvel by it. Our universe, how it actually originated and all the things. Like the Buddha said, inconceivable, he used the word, is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that conditioned living being to fall to what they are now. That word inconceivable is a really, really amazing word that is very true. You cannot conceive them and understand them unless you are a Sammasambuddha who has perfected themselves and returned back to the source. It's not a being that returned back to the source, it's the realization, the perfection, the transformation that enable that to happen. And that is like a complete understanding. That's why it's very unique. Okay, you go back. Huh? I think I have to end soon. 9:45 already. Huh? Oh, we finished, huh? Oh, very good. Okay. Ah, okay. So I will mark this page. Huh? Respectful address. Okay. Huh. So I will mark this page. Now you continue your second session. Huh?
Good evening, brother. Yeah. Mr. Steele and all calamitous.
Yeah.
Still very sleepy.
Never mind. Today you can start to do some sharing.
The last few sessions, I will always, how to say, go into this state of mind where I like more or less shut off.
Yeah. You just go in to the nature and silence, which is good.
Something interesting happened on Sunday.
Oh, sadhu.
The first session was okay, but as usual, I start to feel sleepy.
Yeah.
So when we did the meditation, I lie down.
Sadhu.
And it's like I don't know where I go off.
Yeah.
So by the time I woke up, it was like I on the phone again. It was Sister Po Ching doing the sharing, and she was talking about karma, I think.
Yeah.
And then Brother Teo replied to her and start talking about the purification of mind.
Yeah.
Wow, that really hit me about it.
Yeah.
I never cried so much.
Yeah, sadhu.
I cried the whole session, in fact.
Wow, sadhu.
After that, I don't know, I was crying so much. I don't know what to do with myself. I had to even cover my mouth because my door was open, so actually anybody who walked past can hear me.
Yeah.
so embarrassing, so I had no choice. But I could hear very clearly, Bertil. I could hear what you were saying.
Yeah.
And the strange thing is like what happened in Cameron's. It's like the nature will hear what it wants to hear.
Yeah. Sadhu.
And then it will cry. Very charming.
Yeah.
And then at some parts when you're having just a short discussion within the two of you, the crying will stop.
Yeah.
And then when you say something very profound, and then you will start to cry again.
Yeah. In fact, that day sharing was very, very profound, very beautiful.
The purification of mind.
Yeah. And all the stages of cultivation and all those things. Because we have moved on to a phase where we need to go into the details of all this cultivation where normal people don't do. Only those who take the bodhisattva way can understand, and all this can only be shared when there are causes and conditions. That's why it's very different. In fact, even the previous two Thursday class also, they are very good, very, very good. So I actually rejoice because the sharing is so different nowadays. Very good. Continue, yeah, PG.
Yeah, it's like I think you were also talking about the law of karma, the citta niyama, and the dhamma niyama.
Yeah.
You were going into quite detail about that.
Yeah, very detailed that day.
Actually,
the teaching. Yeah, when I started with the Heart Sutta that explained life and existence, I actually went in. Then this time the sharing is very extensive. It covers not only the existential mundane understanding, it covers a lot of aspect of karma, which is very complicated one. And normal people cannot understand one. You have to go the Bodhisattva way to have the extensive understanding in order to understand all this. That's why finally I remember I explained to Po Cheng, because Po Cheng also knew that karma, like the friend tried to ask her to see the video and develop the understanding. So according to Po Cheng, she also know that is according to them. Then whatever she see, she only can understand up to the level she understand, which is very true. But ultimately, is the law of dependent origination means not only the karmic moral causation, the law of dependent originating that go beyond the karmic moral causation. It involves the other panchaniyamas. Yeah, they all can be linked together. Then what is important is, like I share with her, this life, my nature come, the segmented life, a lot of things that I developed as understanding after 1989, I never learned this life. There was no teacher that taught me all this. Then how did I come to know all this? It's from my spiritual nature that I inherited. Then when I connect, then that thing came back to me. That's why I can share all those things. Then the uniqueness about the way my nature share is, from the way I observe a living being, from what they tell me, their problem or whatever, then based on what they go through within this existential segment of their life, my nature will know that there are causes and conditions from the past that are very likely in that manner for this to manifest, otherwise it cannot manifest. So because of that, that's how I can help many people who has problem, especially first noble truth, reality, suffering and misery problem, even separation, divorce, and many other health related and career related and even many other like especially mental problem, depression and all those things. I was able to actually identify what are the likely causes and conditions and how to advise them to make the three very important recovery process. Means initially have the right view to come to terms with what happened, the reality. Then do what you have to do after that. Means apply Noble Eightfold Path with understanding. So you need to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. Then after that, you need to repent, so that you will not commit all this again by following the advice of the Buddha to actually go the Dhamma way. That second step is very important. Once you do that, you start your cultivation. You start to change your life. You start to develop more and more wholesomeness by avoiding all evil, the good, and purification of mind. Then, after a while, when you have enough parami, you invoke power of merit for turnaround. So that one has helped many people. Then, what I told Po Cheng was, as you cultivate this Bodhisattva way, you need the extensive exposure and understanding. Then, when you are able to do this, in the future, you all, your nature will be like mine, have this ability to understand people and help people and develop the wisdom to identify the likely causes and conditions and problems and how to resolve them amicably. Resolving it amicably is very, very important. And how all this karmic thing, as you develop more and more exposure and understanding, you actually perfected them all. Until finally, when you are at the fourth stage of Bodhi mind development, that time a lot of joy, a lot of wonderful things happen. a lot of understanding will unfold. That's why you become very different. Then the sign will come, and you will understand a lot of things that is beyond the normal cultivation. That's why nowadays I start to talk about karmic consciousness. The karmic consciousness, when the living being get themselves entangled with the karmic consciousness, they cannot come out of it. They don't know what is happening, and they got no idea what it is, and it will condition them to become like that. That's why sometimes you like look at the way things happen to them and say, how can they be so like very very negative and like very sui like that, I want to say. And why they cannot see and they cannot understand? It's not to say they cannot see, they cannot. It's the karmic conditioning from the karmic consciousness. Because they will condition you to behave like that, talk like that, and scold people like that, and do all the funny things. And sometimes, even nowadays, you look at a lot of TikTok video, the way that living beings go through suffering and misery, it is really something that living being cannot understand, that humanity can behave until like that, can go through the life in that severe manner and like terrible condition. But all these are karmic, the karmic consciousness, the karmic conditioning. And all this will unfold, you know. Sometimes it's a collective one, involving all the family members, the sibling, the parents, the children, the grandchildren. Then sometimes involve friends, colleagues, and even neighbors and many other. And all this, you cannot develop the understanding to actually come to terms with all this reality until you walk this way, until you have penetrated all this understanding, then you will come to know thing is just the way it is. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. And everything is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. That's why this is what life is, existence is. There is no such thing as how come it can be like that? Why people are like that? No such thing as why, or try to get an understanding of it. No need. Because that is the way things are. Karmic is like that. And not only about the karmic conditioning and consciousness alone. Because that field is very wide, very extensive. But it also involves all the other panchaniyamas, like from the working of the utu niyama and bija niyama, and how they actually come in and play their role to trigger off the karma niyama to cause things to arise and happen. Then how the karmic conditioning, the karmic consciousness actually entangle with the what they call 12 link, paticca samuppada, the avijja. The avijja, they're very strong. Avijja paccaya sankhara, the movement, the activity, and the evil root that condition all this, they become like, you can only come to the understanding when you walk this way. Otherwise, you cannot. That's why a lot of things that are like, how can it be so terrible and so harsh? It is because of all this panchaniyama thing, the working of the nature's law that governs life and existence. And sometimes condition can evolve until like that. And it's not for you to say, how can the world end up in this way? It's not for you to say all this. Even you look at our present civilization, a lot of things has actually happened. You look at the recent war in Lebanon. Lebanon, known as the latest one. They, in the name of like teaching the what they you call what Hebola or the, that group of terrorists. They call them terrorists. They just destroy that Lebanon area, you know, South Lebanon. And they you come and tell people, I have already warned you to leave that place, you see. You go and watch all that thing. Actually, this is what karmic is. Karmic, really, when they entangle, they really entangle. And until, that's why you have witness over the course of history, how they fight over ideology, religious belief, and all those things. That how that religious labor trigger all this karmic thing. And how now, not only religious, now it involves technology too. And this technology, out of anger, hatred, you want to take revenge, you do all those foolish things. Then when they are having the upper hand or having the power to actually destroy you, they go all out to destroy you. And that's what happened. Just because of living beings, what they call delusion, it conditions so much of this thing. And although we have a beautiful planet with all the beautiful things, and yet the karmic side also equally what we call hellish, like hell. So the extreme of existence, they are there everywhere for you to witness and to see. So this is a very unique civilization. That's why I said this is the golden age where you see all these things and the way they manifest. That's why without this understanding or this teaching and this cultivation, you cannot develop that all-knowing understanding to appreciate existent life and civilization's evolution. All these are not possible if you don't have this understanding of the nature. That's why just now we talk about the provisional teaching where you cultivate the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths. Then the Pacheka Buddha, they go one step higher, they cultivate the working of the mundane mind, the Paticca Samuppada. Then after that, the Bodhisattva, they go to the nature. Understand? So that nature one is way beyond, that's why very much more extensive. And that is the one that actually make the big difference, like what I tried to explain to Po Ching that day. How all this can manifest and become what it is. Because that nature is so amazingly beautiful and exceptional. And the nature, you can go in, develop the cultivation, that transformation, and the understanding. And all these are only possible because there is this so-called teaching of the Bodhisattva way, the Supreme Vehicle way, to penetrate until that level of understanding or limits of understanding. That's why I say it's the most comprehensive you cannot find. Then for PG, she very lucky about that retreat. This our recent retreat helped her. And Virochana Buddha also, and all the other great beings also helped her. And now she will progress very fast. She will penetrate very fast after this. That's why it's all very beautiful and wonderful. Okay. I don't want to take up too much time, yeah? PG, I pass back to you.
In fact, after the class itself, I couldn't wake up. I couldn't even wake up to switch off my phone. Right. I lie there until 8 o'clock.
Continue. Let that nature go in and develop the movement and the meditation. That one will transform you very fast. Later on, you will understand. Because she also very lucky. That's why her way is different again. He got to go through the ups and downs. At one time earlier on, she very serious, then she progressed. Then went back to the complacency or the thing. Oh, then that whole thing like gone. Then later on, determined again. He got to overcome, you remember, the two retreat, the coming.
So sick.
So sick and so full of misery. Because the physical body, the karmic thing that come out, wow, she really suffered at that time. But luckily she endured, she determined. So this time, before the retreat, she really make it a point to go through the TCM, everything, and really want to recover. And that one really manifested. And like jackpot, suddenly, wow. And the way it happened, is not the ordinary one. In fact, Po Cheng Wan also same in way unique to her, but PG one is another one, very, very unique one. And this one, you need strong faith, strong mind. That's why I say a lot of you, Kayamita, even that day together with you all, Song, Hui Rong, they all, we say, all those that continuously attend the Tuesday class, you are not normal. You are the abnormal. Because you all have your part. Otherwise, you cannot be here after so many years. In fact, this type of Dhamma teaching is not really something that you can stay on very long or not, unless you have your past. Like Hui Rong say, the insight is calling. Otherwise, you won't come. Where got people come for so long? And it's not something compulsory or that will interest people. Or no. That's why I already hinted to you all in the early day. What this nature needs is not the numbers, the real serious one. These are the ones that can actually make a big difference. Because after that, what we develop is very beautiful. The Kayamita set up the website, everything, and our Dhamma book that are transcribed and developed. So all this is going to be there for very long. And many cultivators of the way that come later will benefit from it because of technology. And that website is really beautiful and it's meant to be. And a lot of things will actually continue to evolve and manifest and transform. Very good. PG, continue. Sadhu.
Pratyo, I would like to share with Kalamitas. I think what brings the turnaround was, as per Pratyo's advice, I really sincerely ask for forgiveness from the great beings.
Yeah, that one very important.
And whomsoever that I've caused suffering in the distant past until now.
No.
I did it every day.
Sadhu.
And like even now, I still continue with the Bodhisattva vows every day.
Sadhu.
And I find that it helps, how to say, bring about the mind state that that makes me, the awareness and the calmness of mind, that is so very important.
Become very different and amazingly different. That's why after this, she was stabilized and transformed and become very different. Then her understanding will actually accelerate by leap and bound.
Even like going through the short videos and all that.
Now very different.
Very different, right? Even I listen,
The understanding,
yeah, the understanding,
very penetrative one.
Like yesterday when I was cleaning up the house, I moved a little bit of things on the low cabinet, and when I was the big picture suddenly tilted, and then
it just manifest.
I heard something pop. I said, the funny thing is, there's no reaction.
Yeah, no reaction, nothing. Yeah.
The standing lamp fell down, the
glass
broke, and there was no reaction. And everything was the glass shattered area. I just look at it. Oh.
Sadhu. That was the condition to test you when you are ready. All this thing happened. Like last time I say, my leg, suddenly I hit a metal piece. Actually, a lot of what they call that pain is very, very severe one, but no problem one. No, I can still laugh at it. You know, I know that tactile thing very severe. Normal people cannot take it. They would have but no word on you smile. Yeah, that is the way things are. Condition like that, things will it will manifest, and you will come to understand that. That's why inside, clear, no more reaction, nothing. But that is the way things are. Nature's condition. And it manifests for you to see, for you to go through. Yeah. In fact, last time, Pucheng, the test also very severe. That's why all this, they will show, they will manifest. Then you go through, you go through. Very good, PG, Sadhu. Yeah.
Brother, your one statement that you always make actually is the Buddha's teaching. Whatever arises, there are causes and conditions.
Sadhu.
Brother, that one is
very clear
so powerful.
Yeah, powerful and clear already. That's why this one, when you touch that nature, this understanding go in on zoom inside on. No need to contemplate nothing, will become very clear. That's why now all the short video, like to her, is very different when she listens. But the penetrative understanding is all there in the simple words, but they are very powerful. And these are the words of the Buddha, not me. And I just repeat them. And for the cultivator of the way, the moment they reach that stage, that insight, realize, then they will awaken to it. They understand it there and then. That's why I keep on repeating nowadays all these words is because these are the teaching that awakened me in the early years, 1989. Because when my nature connect, all these words become clear to me. Then like, how come all the teaching there people cannot understand? People cannot see. People didn't pay attention. That's why now you look at even the way I share the initial essential Dhamma, all those things that lead to the later teaching. Everything that I share, I just pick it up from the Dhammapada verses and the essential Dhamma. And I can link and connect all the whole teaching because the nature that understands see the teaching as it is. And it can explain to you, even the Abhijja Sutta and all those things, the four foundations of mindfulness and how the sainthood way and the bodhisattva way, how they are linked and connected. The whole of this understanding can never be understood until you have gone through that way, especially realize that nature within. If you cannot penetrate that one, you cannot have this understanding to teach like that. Cannot. No way. Very good. Sadhu. Yeah.
Brother, the other thing I always do is after my chanting, I always do the, aspiration using the power of merit.
Ah, yes.
Brother.
Wow, Sadhu.
The initial one before I, before I go for the retreat, my aspiration then was I recover to good health, of course, and to be able to complete the retreat.
Oh, sadhu.
Yeah. In how to say, with peace of mind.
Yeah.
And when I come back, my aspiration was slowly, like, a little bit more to develop sati.
Yeah.
So now my aspiration is going to be to understand Chittanyama.
Sadhu. Very good.
Because I find that it is so important to understand the mind.
The working of the mind. Yeah. This working of the mind is the second stage after the cultivation. No? After you develop sati, when you understand the working of the mind, you understand karma or no? Karmic or no? How the karmic consciousness, how people get entangled. You have to understand the paticca-samuppanna. And how that thing manifests. That's why I can tell you habitual tendency and all those things. And how actually the brain activity and all those things, the accumulated phobia. Well, I saw all those things inside there. That's why this one, nobody can teach you. You must have the awareness within to see. Krishnamurti also shared a lot. But he didn't really explain much. Because to him, his brain there, after that thing transformed, he also understand, but he cannot put it into like the... he got his own way of sharing and explaining. Yeah? It's for the modern day people where he used non-scriptural word on. He used day-to-day language on. Then he come out with his own word on. But if you have that transformation and the understanding, you will understand him on. Yeah? He also speak from there. From that nature, he saw and he understand. That's why all the understanding, when it unfold, whatever word you use, not a problem. The enlightened being that has gone through the process from that nature, they can understand him. And the problem with his teaching is, people cannot understand him. Very few people can touch that nature, understand? And go in. Very few people can be like him. So that's why it's not easy to understand him. Very good, PG, sadhu.
One thing I saw, the working, the mundane mind, how the sankhara comes out so fast.
Oh, sadhu.
Ratio was yesterday after the lamp fell down.
Oh, sadhu.
During that time, like I say, initially there was no reaction.
Yeah.
Then I take the broom, go and clean up.
Yeah.
Then subsequently, you can see the sankhara coming.
From the memory, the conditioning.
What a waste.
You
see all the sankhara coming out. All the chatting coming out. Actually, in a way, it's quite interesting.
It is for you to understand. This is how the mundane thought is respond to memory. From memory, the conditioning, the belief system, all this, they will start to, like cinema show, repeat it for you to see. Then when you in that transformative state of understanding, when you see this, it become very different. Oh, this is what is happening all this while. But last time you're not aware, that's why you cannot see. And you didn't know that all this dialogue, internal verbalization, chattering, heedless thinking, these are all your conditioning, belief system. And the way of the mundane mind, the mundane thinking that lack wisdom and understanding. When you lack awareness, you don't have the wisdom energy to actually understand all this. That's why you must be in the state of sati, awareness. When you are in that state of pure awareness, that's why Po Ching starts to understand. When she is with the pure awareness nature, no suffering, nothing. Just like initially, PG, when that thing happened, but the memory hasn't come in yet. You are with that nature. So no fear, nothing. Then later on, as you start to sweep, your usual conditioning will come back from the memory, everything. Then the thought will start to slowly, slowly create that movement. It's for you to understand. That's why this direct seeing will enable you to see things as they are. How you stir your mind, how you develop all this thinking. Because some of these are still the accumulated habits from the early years of conditioning, and it will manifest. But as you straighten your view and develop the understanding, later on, all this will like become actually, you go through a few phases of transformation. Initially, it's like not so strong already. Not like last time. Eh? Then later on, until finally, completely cannot move already. You know? Cannot even come and tell you story or think. Cannot really. Because you already developed the stability of penetrative understanding. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Why you want to waste time? Then the understanding is so beautiful. No? You can have that choice, no? To develop understanding further through slow contemplative reflection or understanding, or just enough ready, finish. Finish means finish. That's why no more carrying. And it cannot carry on. No? Later on, especially after maybe another few years or what, the mundane mind collapse that time, you become very different. There is no more of the mundane mind to tell you all this story already. That clarity of consciousness is so different. The super mundane mind that arise is very different, like no mind inside there. So initially, like very light on, like clarity on, nothing. And all those phases you will go through on. Then you will continue to develop until you come back to normality again. Until I know how to make use of that supramundane consciousness to live life again. Kan san, yu si san. So those phases, cultivator will go through. Which is very good. Sadhu, PJ. Another 1 minute. You summarize.
Yeah, Bharatiyo, at this time is I have to do my homework.
Yeah.
Right view.
Very important.
Yeah, that I find is very important. Falling like what you call it, the bodhisattva vows.
The
three sets of pure precepts.
Yeah, the three sets of pure precepts. Yeah,
that's something beautiful. I have to do my homework.
Sadhu. Let us rejoice, Sadhu. Okay, we will now share merits, transform merit, then we end. Akasata Chabumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Itta Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabasampati Siddhya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Deo asatukalena sasasampati heto cha. Fito bhavatu loko cha. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu.